This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
So I want to hear more about, so your brother was a politician, loved the Lord, because he went, he came forward in the Jack Wurtson service when you were 12. Your brother was a little younger than you, right?
Yeah, just 1 year.
So he was 11, and yet it stuck.
I was 14.
Oh, so he was 13. But it stuck.
Yes.
You could see throughout his life, he showed the fruit. Now, what about the you had a sister, too, then?
Yeah, my sister.
She went forward, too.
Yeah, she became an RN.
An RN.
Yeah.
Never met a nurse I didn't like.
Well, she was a wonderful nurse.
They have a gift of mercy. It's
she
biblical.
She was, most of her life, she spent as a supervisor.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And, and when she came to Florida, the one thing she said, it's so much work to be a supervisor. She said, I'm not going to be a supervisor. Well, after a couple of years, they talked her into it.
But let's get back to the book
now.
We're talking about Growing Up in the Greatest Generation by Frank Clymer.
Yeah.
And he wrote this from the ages of 0 to 12, later on in life.
Yeah.
And when did how long did it take you to write this book, Growing Up in the Greatest Generation? A year, two?
No. Maybe 6-7 months.
That's all. Now, so these memories came back to you fluidly?
Yeah. I had no problem whatsoever.
Okay, so tell us, what I'm looking for, like I said, is do you give insight to me, the reader, as I represent all the readers out here, that the pace? You know, sometimes I miss the pace, Frank.
Yeah.
I used to shine shoes when I was a little boy, 10 years of age, at a barbershop. I didn't have to. We, frankly, were prosperous.
Yeah.
But we flew down to see my grandparents in Texas, and we went to Mexico.
Oh.
When I went to Mexico, I saw the genuinely poor children shining shoes and came back and wanted to mimic them.
Yeah.
And so I shined shoes.
Wow.
But because I always loved. I always, you know, we belonged to golf clubs.
Yeah.
Plural.
Yeah.
And tennis club, singular, and other things. That people with dough have, but I always wanted to work.
Right.
So I shined shoes, and people were so kind and sweet. And then in the summer times, I'd sell lemonade on the golf course and did quite well.
I can believe it, Red.
Yeah.
You'd be successful no matter where you go.
Well, you think so? The minimum wage was $1.30 then.
Yeah.
And that means if you worked 10 hours, you made $13.
Yeah.
As a 9-year-old, I was making $30 a day.
Wow.
But I'd get up. Yeah. I wasn't lazy. Right. I got up 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Bought those cans of lemonade, 10 for a buck.
Yeah.
Making all that lemonade, carrying, hauling all the boxes in the cooler out there with the ice and everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, I loved working.
Yeah, I did too as a boy. I had a paper route. Now, I didn't carry papers in a bag and deliver them that way. But it was a little bit different, and I talk about it in the book. There was three of us boys and an older gentleman that drove the Model T Ford.
Yes.
With a canvas top and no side windows because we stood on the running boards, and we would fold the Evening Bulletin magazine.
Read all about it.
and we would serve the whole community. Now, it was a lot of fun to do that. And you talk about money. We got 25 cents a day, 25 cents. And it took us roughly an hour to do it. But we didn't just stay on the old Model T. We would have runs where you'd jump off and serve a short street. They'd pick you up at the end of that street.
Yeah. You know,
that type. It was a good schedule. Yeah.
What a fun way to do it.
Yeah. So
as
anyway,
a team.
I was involved with that.
Life is better as a team than solitary, right?
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was involved in that. But going back to your original question, things were of a slower pace or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was totally different.
You know what bothers me is I can't remember what life was like a short few years ago before we had these dang phones.
Yeah.
Now, do I love it that I can – I mean, if I traveled to Europe, it would be $5 a minute to call long distance. Now you can go and talk for 17 hours. Yeah. Doesn't cost you a penny.
Yeah.
I mean, I can make a phone ring within 30 seconds in Russia.
Yeah. Yeah.
The information is endless. We used to have the Britannica. The Britannica, the encyclopedias. We had the whole set. Well, now you don't need that because they're all on your phone.
Right.
But the first thing I do, you wake up, you're on that.
Yeah.
You have a spare minute. I sometimes put it down and go, what did I used to do before there was an iPhone or an Android?
Right. Well, for my generation, the thing that changed our lives was television.
Mm.
Before it was radio, that was our entertainment. And that kept you more of the family.
Which, the TV or the radio?
The radio.
Yeah, and also it engaged the imagination.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie Kirk, I've listened to. Yeah. I like Charlie Kirk. He's a very brilliant young man.
Yeah.
But recently, I happened to find his podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm doing something else while I'm listening. And I realize suddenly why podcasts is so successful, as is talk radio, because I was listening better, not seeing him.
Yeah.
As crazy as that sound, I'm going, I marveled at this. I'm really listening and remembering because it engaged my imagination. Whereas if you give the whole ball of wax, you give the visual and the audio, it can pull you to sleep.
Yeah. I know as a young boy, we would be out playing after school.
Yeah.
But when 4:30 came around, when the children's programs came on, Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy, Superman, Tom Mix, and what have you. I mean, that street was empty. We were in our house. Our imaginations were at work and following that story. And the commercials, mostly cereals they were advertising.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other thing that you couldn't wait for is what can we buy? What are they going to advertise? Is an atomic ring, the whistling ring, the secret code ring, and for 25 cents?
Wait a second. How about the X-ray glasses?
Okay. Yeah.
How about the product that was guaranteed to kill a fly or a mosquito? When they sent you two little pieces of wood you slapped together. So there were some bad thieves out there then, huh?
Yeah.
But so tell me about your book, Growing Up in the Greatest Generation, Frank Clymer. Tell me another story that you you put down in pen and ink for this book.
Let's see.
Something that really is indicative of the times there.
Yeah, well, I write about the medical situations, the school, and it, going, I'll just hit on the medical a little bit. The problem that we all face was, were we going to get our tonsils removed? Because every other child went to the hospital, they had tonsillitis, so-called. I mean, today,
That's because they wanted the ice cream.
I don't know. But fortunately, nobody in our house had that problem. The other thing was appendicitis.
Ooh.
And that was, I mean, if I ever had a bellyache, I never told my parents about it because I wasn't going to go and have my belly cut open.
I've had neither taken out myself.
Yeah, but that was big. That was fearful. And the other thing that was really fearful was polio.
Yeah, that was legitimate.
That was scary. And we had several outbreaks in our community with that. And I can sort of tell you a funny story about that.
Please do.
Yes, okay.
We like stories.
They quarantined the whole school. They shut the whole school down for maybe a couple of weeks, okay? And you had to stay in your house. You were not supposed to go out and associate with other children and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I lived right next to Sellersville Elementary School. Mm-hmm. And we knew the superintendent, I'll call him, of the whole school district. I mean, every school of Sellersville Perkins, this man supervised. Now, his alley was on the back lot of the school. So how dumb can children be? So we thought, well, we're going to go up and play on the playground. We're tired of staying in the house. So we go play. Who comes up the alley but Mr. Lewis Snyder? He stopped the car, and the death sentence rolled out. So he really chewed us out and sent us home. Another school story is when we were walking home from school, we had safety patrols, to cross the streets. And we had, in Sellersville, they brought Route 309, which was a major highway in Pennsylvania, through Sellersville. And Sellersville, when they did this in the 1930s, they were all excited. Oh, this is going to make us a boom town. Well, it never happened. People just drove through, and all we got was the busy traffic. So they were very, very strict with safety patrols. Anyway, some of us boys will be boys. And maybe that's not true, but I say that bad boy. I call that in my book. And this is one of the things that I talk about, that at the one corner, one of my friends, his sister was a safety patrol. They always had two people together. And she was one of the safety patrols. And he said, let's not cross here. Let's go down the street and cross, you know. So we did this for several days. And every time she would holler, I'm telling the principal. And so finally she did. Well, this principal, Mr. Weisel, he was strict and hard, you know, his nails, and had a tough voice. Mm-hmm. It was thundering. And so I was in fourth grade, and I'll never forget, he had a list of all of us boys, and he called us out in front of the class. Mm. Well, we walked up. He was in our classroom. He grabbed us by the back of the neck, and he shoved us. That's a wonder we didn't fall. We all, you know, went for balance. We hit the hallway. But it was so embarrassing to be in front of your classmates and be humiliated that way. Yeah. So it just shows, you know, like
there was strictness. So what happened to you?
Well, the interesting thing was nothing really, except he chewed us out very loudly. He left the door open in the classroom so everyone heard it and really ripped us up and down.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
This passing world is done. When has sunk young glaring sun? When we stand with Christ in glory, looking o'er life's finished story, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till